for news and politic talk for Christians? You found it right here. It's time for another episode of Christian Pulita Talk with Michael and Mary Beth.
To another Thursday night, a stormy Thursday night around here.
Very,
very stormy. So we're starting the show a little bit early.
We might have to go hide in the bathroom, y'all.
Yeah, we got a lot of tornado warnings around us and a lot of severe storms. Skies looking really green. I mean, even the lightning earlier was looking green. It's pretty crazy.
It was weird because I'm not used to seeing our lightning going like side to side. I'm used to it like striking straight down. Yeah. It was looking like cray cray. Yeah. Like fingers.
So, yeah, we wanted to start just a little bit early tonight, kind of get a jump on it. You got something to start us off with over there tonight?
Yes.
It's Devotion Time with Mary Beth.
And I am Mary Beth. So tonight's devotional is called The Symbol of Life. Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. That's from John 2:4. Wine is symbolic of blood, and blood is symbolic of life. Mary was simply concerned that the wine had run out. She wasn't talking about her son's life being taken from him as he shed his blood for the sin of the world. Jesus was about his Father's business and seemed to be talking in riddles. He always had the cross before him. How could he not? It was the reason for his life here on earth. He was born to die, to enter into the winepress, the horrific baptism of suffering, and he could never take his rest until that was accomplished. That's from Luke 12:50. He was thinking of another marriage, the marriage supper of the Lamb, where he would come for his spotless virgin bride, the church. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. That's from Revelation 19:7. Tonight's soul search is, do I often meditate on the agony of the cross as I should? What can I do to keep the cross ever before me? That's from Galatians 6:14. And the prayer, Father, open the eyes of my understanding and help me to be ever grateful for Calvary.
Amen on that. Sorry. Ooh. Told you, every time we start the show, I start to get clogged up.
You're all verklempt.
So tonight, later on in the show, you know, last week we started off with the new year and some things that, you know, people should be doing like as a New Year's resolution. And tonight, this one's kind of pointed towards the kids in our lives, the children in our lives. We're going to be taking a little troll down into, the fifth commandment. And even deeper into the fifth commandment, down to honor thy mother and thy father, and what the children's roles are in the family. I think it's equally important to cover that. So gives you a little direction of where we're going later on in the show. But, wow, we've got some news stories to talk about tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Politics, current events. It's what's going on in the world. It's time for the news.
You know, a little bit ago, before the show started, I was queuing something up, and you were like, what?
Well, it was a weird combination of things that I was hearing, and I was like, hmm.
I mean, you got to know this story I'm going into. You kind of got to wonder why it has a theme song. You know, everybody knows what this is. Yeah, the little red Corvette. You wonder why I'm going in that direction?
No. I don't.
Well, obviously you haven't heard the latest news that where the documents were found with Joe Biden.
Oh.
They were found in his garage beside
his little red Corvette.
His Corvette. Right there where he kept his Corvette.
Well, see, I was so confused because you were playing something about senior health care in this song. And I don't even want to know.
And buckle up for this one. Hunter Biden had access to the garage where President kept the classified documents next to the Corvette. Emails indicate.
Well, are we surprised?
Well, no, because you know why? Because the larger story is, a lot of Democrats are starting to say that the documents were planted.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure Donald Trump snuck into his garage and planted them beside his Corvette.
Yeah, there's an opinion piece that was titled Garage Files, while Biden's Corvette defense won't cut it with criminal code.
Yeah.
It was just a little opinion piece. It was kind of funny.
Well, you know, it is kind of funny because, you know, you and I were talking about this, and I'd asked you if they had said what these confidential, like top secret confidential files were regarding. And it just makes me think it must be China.
Yeah.
If Hunter had access to it, and that seems to be his gig.
Yeah.
I mean, let's connect the dots, everybody.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I mean, I'm sure it had nothing to do with Hunter's finger paints and stuff that he was doing.
Well, you know, AG taps special counsel to investigate new classified docs found in Biden's garage next to his Corvette.
But how long has he had them?
Years.
He's had them since when?
And guess what? More than that, Vice President can't declassify classified documents.
And he had them under Obama.
Yeah, so, yeah, but they're planted. That's, oh,
right,
you know,
right.
That's what they want. That's what they want you to believe.
Of course.
So
the truth wouldn't exactly fit into that narrative in any way, shape, or form.
Well, that, you know, that's one of the stories that we will be following, you know, coming up. And wow, I mean, there's so much there. Let's just start there. There is so much there.
There is a banker box to unpack for that one.
Definitely. So we will be following that story, you know, ongoing and you know, continue to keep you kind of up to date on that.
As long as they still keep reporting on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, nothing said says a lot, right?
You know, it could be a whole new edition of The Twilight Zone.
There you go. So, some good news to share.
Oh, yes.
Looks like the Bills safety, Damar Hamlin, was released from the hospital, and he was taken to hospital there closer to home in Buffalo. So looks like he is stabilizing, and he's breathing on his own, and he's showing remarkable improvement.
My goodness, that's wonderful.
So, you know, thanks to everyone that's, you know, prayed for him and the family and everything, everyone that's been involved. It's been, you know, that's been one of those things that's just kind of like, wow, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I read another story, ran across that after a pastor, after escaping a Congo war to seek peace in America, somebody shot that pastor dead in Nashville.
What?
Yeah. He escaped from Congo war to seek peace in America. And he fled and to seek a better life in the U.S., and he was found shot last Thursday morning outside of his apartment in Nashville, Tennessee.
Well, that makes me wonder if it was somebody that was sent for him, or if that was just completely random and it was just a random act of violence.
Well, you know what's even more sad?
What?
So his body was found by a passerby just before 7 a.m. in the grass outside his apartment. He later died at the scene. But there was, you know, people said that she, you know, the lady discovered his body just steps from another apartment door, just laying there. And people were just walking past him like he was just trash in the yard. And so
that's so sad.
You know, this was probably some kind of a, you know, a random act of violence, but you know, it's sad when anybody is killed by something like that, you know, but
absolutely.
You know, the story behind this that makes it so much worse, you know. So he, you know, he's originally from Congo, but he grew up in Tanzania. And after they, you know, fled the war in Congo, he was a teacher in Tanzania and then moved to the U.S. And he started, you know, in Dallas, he started serving God in church. And, you know, from on, you know, he got a pastorship.
Excuse me, I sneezed.
Was that? Wow.
I sneezed. I was trying not to
make it loud. I thought you hit something.
Nope, my nose.
I'm like, what did you slam down over there?
My face.
I can't see you. We're separated by a bank of monitors here in the studios. So.
We can only see each other if we, like, throw our hands up.
Yeah.
Like, I'm okay.
Send me hand signs or something.
I'm okay.
But, you know, definitely, you know, that story is definitely one to, you know, just kind of like, wow, really? So, I thought that, you know, it'd be a good story to share.
It's so sad because, you know, we as a nation are uber concerned with what's going on here, as we should be, as we should be. But we don't necessarily, I mean, you know, the really, the biggest thing that I guess has been focused on is the whole Russia-Ukraine thing and what's been going on with that. And we literally forget that in Africa, that is a war-torn nation like 24/7.
Oh, yeah.
There is always something horrible going on there.
100%. And, you know.
And my heart goes out to those people.
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's just, you know, there's a lot there to unwrap and digest, you know, just about the story of him coming here. And then all of a sudden, you know, his life is, you know, taken.
So, absolutely.
It's just, you know, it's a sad story. So, you know, I was looking at some other things that have been going on. You know, there's still been a lot of talks about the economy lately and, what the economy's doing. You know, there is a something that they're trying to put together where lawmakers could soon be banned from trading stocks as well.
As it should be.
Which I think would be a great thing.
They should not be able to have an interest in any business that's here.
Yeah.
Regardless of if it's in their state, other than trying to bring businesses to their state.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there should not be any kickbacks. There shouldn't be any, like, hidden handshakes or private deals or, you know, what do you call it? Preferred stock.
Yep.
Anything like that.
And, you know, speaking of preferred stock, Sam Bankman-Fried defends himself here. You know, he's like, I didn't steal funds. You know, that's his latest thing.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he provides his account of what led to his crypto empire's collapse.
The image I have of that is like a little kid with their hands behind their back, like head down, eyes cast up, like, I didn't do it.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's so basically he's spoken out again to defend himself as he awaits trial on those federal charges linked to the collapse of his crypto empire, spelling out, you know, his version of what led to the platform's downfall and what he called a pre-mortem overview.
That's a new one.
Yeah. I'm like, wow. Did he buy a new dictionary or something?
It's like, so it's like the pre-death of your company.
It's like, woo. What are you doing here?
And who looks at their company like that?
Yeah. So it is another one of those things. So, you know, looking back, there's a lot more data that's coming in about how the inflation affected the end of last year, which we all know it did.
Mm-hmm.
But they're saying it's eased a little bit, but a number of factors will make it tick back up this year.
Oh, yeah. Gas is at 281 to 288 that I've seen.
Yep.
That is down slightly.
But it's still a lot higher than it was.
Still a lot higher than it was.
So
the days of $1.20 gone.
Well, it eased slightly in December to 6.5%, but prices are remaining stubbornly high. So, you know, that's really where we've got to try to, you know, kick in a little bit more and, you know, just try to figure out how we're all gonna live and make it in this world that we're faced with right now, honestly.
In this world that Joe created.
Yep. Well, you know, and they're saying now, too, existing home sales drop for, you know, a ninth straight month.
Not up in this joint.
And they're saying home prices could plunge 20%. Amid risk of severe corrections. So,
I don't think that counts here. Because seriously, I read an article that said that millennials were moving here, like moving to the Southeast because we had more jobs. And I'm just like, I'm still seeing like signs going up in our neighbor's yards for sale. And like two days later, sold.
Sold. It's like, stay where you are.
Yeah, no sign, no sign. In fact, our across the street neighbors, they moved out. They sold their house to their family. We had no idea. We were just seeing weird people there.
Wow. So, you know, those are a few of the stories that have been lingering around through the last part of last year coming into this year. They're definitely are more interesting stories that are breaking and some details coming out. And, you know, like with what went on, you know, with the murders and those court cases are now starting to ramp up. So we're starting to find out more about those.
Yeah. I'm really interested to hear what the actual motive is.
Yep. And so, you know, those are the things that we're going to be following here in the next, you know, coming weeks, just to kind of cap off where we're heading this year. We're still, you know, putting together the year as a whole. I feel like we've got some good things to cover this year and try to take things building in bigger and better directions, different from last year and different from the year before that. I mean, you know, we want to keep pushing things forward and keep providing the information that people really want to hear about. And, you know, I think that, you know, we did pretty good with it last year, but I'm looking forward to an even bigger year this year. What's your thoughts on that over there?
Well, it can't get any worse.
Wow.
It has to be better. I mean,
are you saying that our year on the show was worse last year?
No, no. I'm saying that, like, the types of things we covered, you know, some of them were really great topics, but we had really horrible news stories that we had to report on. So, you know, it has to get better that way.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we were in the middle of COVID and, you know, which was part of why this show got started. You know, was because we couldn't get out.
Yeah.
And we needed an outlet, and you needed an outlet.
Yep. It started kind of slow, and wow, has it picked up steam.
It has, for sure.
Over the last, we're officially into our third year now, so we just passed that two-year mark, so I'm excited, really excited. I'm also excited about another story that I ran across, and I think you'll be excited about it too. There's a Missouri church that has opened a faith-based homeless shelter.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, and it's reaching out to the homeless during the coldest months of the year. And members say their goal is to go out and be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're really reaching out with this faith-based homeless shelter. I think, you know, they're saying that they've had volunteers search local trails to find the homeless who had been sleeping in the cold. And hundreds of people came to the church to stay warm. And, you know, they're going down the trails and begging people to come in and get out of the brutal cold. It said when the warming center closed its door on Christmas Day, they said it felt like the work of the church was only just beginning. So, you know, they were just saying that a couple of guys said they hadn't eaten in 3 days.
Oh, wow.
And another said he was eating out of a trash can.
Oh, goodness.
And there's no need for that in this country. No need at all.
No.
You know, and we're called to love people and our neighbors, and the homeless people are part of that. And we've said that many times on this show.
Yeah, and we've also talked about those that try to take advantage of people's good nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you have to go with your gut, honestly. If you feel like someone needs your help, and you think they truly need your help, they probably do. But, you know, if you see the same person on the same street corner week after week after week,
mm-hmm.
You might want to reconsider.
You may want to reconsider. So,
and, I mean, in a lot of cities, too, panhandling is legal. And, you know, you kind of have to do that on the down low.
Definitely. Wow. So there, something just popped up on our screen here.
Uh-oh.
We have officially been placed under tornado watch and warning in this area. So.
Fantastic.
So, yeah. So.
So if we suddenly leave, don't worry. We're hiding in our bathroom.
I'm surprised they have not heard the rumblings. On the show, we may be listening back later on, like, what is that?
That was God kicking in. God was like, hey, I'm here.
I am here. And, you know, when we talk about loving each other and loving the people around us, that really is a perfect tie-in and a place to roll over into what I want to talk about tonight. You ready to get started with that?
Sure.
It's time to learn. It's time for the message. So we're going to talk about the fifth commandment, and I want to share with you a little story that I ran across, and it's basically involving Mark Twain of all people. You know, there was a corrupt businessman that once told Mark Twain, "Before I die, I mean to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. I will climb Mount Sinai and read the Ten Commandments aloud at the top." And you know what Mark Twain had to say about that?
I do not.
He said, "I have a better idea. You could stay in Boston and actually keep them. Keep the commandments instead of, you know, running to the top of a mountain and shouting them, right?" It's pretty good, mm-hmm. Don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with the start of the fifth commandment, as we're talking about commandments, we move from a framework of our relationship to God and start to focus on the relationship we have with ourselves and others. When Jesus summarized all the law and prophets this way, love God and love each other. So this evening, we move from the commands which spell out loving God to the commands which deal with loving each other. Verse 12 is dealing with our family's relationships, specifically the child's duty to the parents. Honor your mother and father. This includes respect of the person's, you know, esteem them inwardly and out, expressed by our conduct towards them. Obedience to their lawful commands, submissions to their instructions, rebukes and corrections, and trying to be a comfort and help. The Bible is telling us that we are responsible for giving honor to those God has put over us. Our parents are the first of many in a child's life to whom we owe honor. What God is saying is to treat our father and mother like we would treat him. The intention of this heavenly Father is that our earthly father would provide an example of who God is and how God loves. Our fathers make a lot of mistakes, and sometimes they can even skew our perception of the heavenly Father. But we are responsible for what we do and how we react. So since God knows our hearts as well as our actions, we cannot comply with the framework for our family relationship with just what we do. Our attitude needs to be one of submission. Our feelings need to be respect and love. Okay, maybe we can do that with good parents, but what about the bad ones? The ones that abused or are lost or confused or wrong and right. So let's look at another passage to get a feel for this. Proverbs 23:22-25, New King James Version, chapter 23 starts, "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let who bore you rejoice." Again, we see no exception made for the quality of parents. We must bestow honor to whom it is due by virtue of their position. So, this is counter to today's culture. Remember last year we did that whole series on countering the culture? You know, there's a book, a series of books, commentaries of the four last books of Moses. And they're arranged in the form of harmony. And from volume 3, page 7, it actually says the key to societal stability is reverence and respect for parents and for their high status. And then it says Shabbat is nothing else but to pay due to honor God and to men who are in authority. So, this habit of submission to authority begins at home. Honor, to hold high, regard, give great weight, and to hold as valuable. Respect, hold their authority in high esteem by virtue of the fact that they are our parents. They gave us life. They deserve honor. It is honor owed to them by virtue of their position. So Ephesians 6:1 in the New King James Version says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Colossians 3:20 from the New King James Version says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." It, you know, is a simple matter, doing what you're told to do. Living inside the rails established by them, curfews, house rules, no running, don't hit, etc. Shouldn't have to think, just do. How many times have people heard that? Did your mom ever tell you that?
Oh, yeah.
Shouldn't have to think about it, just do it. But, you know, is it a difficult matter? We want to argue against this. It's our rebellious nature rearing this ugly head. Why? You get the, I don't want to, I don't feel like it. But when the tables are turned and they need our care, we must not withhold it. 1 Timothy 5:8 in the New King James Version says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. You know, in the Bible, there was family security instead of social security. Families took care of each other. And it was also that way in the U.S. for many generations. A lot of people our age will remember the Waltons, right? They were that kind of family. You know, this plan, this is the plan that God had for Israel. And it's a good plan still today, especially for us and our parents. So this promise refers primarily to Israel's dwelling in the promised land, that they would live long lives in the promised land, both living long to a ripe old age and living in the land of promise a long time. That was probably the chief meaning of it all. And as they kept their word of God, society would be stronger. They would be blessed with peace. They would learn to obey. They would submit to parents and in turn submit to God. When we look in the book of Romans 13:1-2, New King James Version, it says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. You see, folks, this is where training and practice in the home pays off for society. We will always have authority over us, employers, boards, governments. If we cannot submit at home, where our parents have our best interests at heart, how will we submit to others who probably don't? Parents have an awesome responsibility to teach respect to children. Submission doesn't come naturally for the human heart. Adam and Eve demonstrated our rebellious spirit. Israel repeatedly rebelled against God. And unfortunately, they didn't learn this and their days were troubled. One exception. If they command us to disobey God. Daniel in the Den of Lions illustrates this for us, especially for commands to disobey God, submit to authority. That leads us to the most important reason why. Is it any wonder that people can't accept God's word today? I just read of an actor who brags about tearing out Leviticus 18 from the Gideon's Bibles in the hotel rooms. You want to know why? He's a homosexual. And Leviticus 18, which condemns all sexual immorality, makes him feel guilty. So he decides that he's just going to tear it out of all the hotel rooms that he stays in. He's going to tear that out of the Bible. But let's look at what the Lord says. Let's go to Leviticus 18, 24 through 29, again from the New King James Version. Do not defile yourself with any of these things, for by all of the nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you. For the land is defiled, therefore I visit the punishment of its iniquity upon it, and the land vomits out its inhabitants. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, either of your own nation or the stranger who dwells among you. For all of these abominations the men of the land have done who were before you, and thus the land is defiled, lest the land vomit you out also when you defile it, as it vomited out the nations that were there before you. For whoever commits any of these abominations, the persons who commits them shall be cut off from among their people. So instead of ripping pages out of God's word, or ignoring his word, or skipping inconvenient passages, or reinterpreting things, we must submit to God. God didn't want them to tolerate juvenile delinquencies. which would lead to adults who were rebellious. You know, severe consequences for delinquencies back then, death. Deuteronomy 21:18 through 21 says, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city, and they shall say to the elders of the city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Disobeying this command still had deadly consequences. No, I'm not advocating for stoning rebellious kids. Like, maybe no. No stoning for the rebellious. It brings devastation to homes and society. And we are seeing the impact of this in our society. There's a rise of people who can't accept authority at home, at school, at work, and in the world. One example, the people today who will do anything. Now think back, going back to when Donald Trump was still president and the whole quote-unquote summer of love was going on. Break any law, destroy anyone's property, thinking if they threw a big enough fit, Donald Trump somehow wouldn't be president. Can you see their inner three-year-old who manipulated their parents through fits coming out? You know, we've experienced the same thing in like classrooms. Teachers making a simple request to put a phone away. That inner three-year-old comes out after they then try to make a scene. They end up in worse trouble and they get to spend the whole day without the phone. Just because we throw a fit and cry and break things, it doesn't change the world around us. If only people learn that more at home. And as parents, we have an awesome responsibility to teach our children. And sometimes the children just, you know, aren't going to listen no matter what we do. And sometimes the only things we can do is pray about it. And on a life application note, we need to recognize the great blessings that our parents are to us and realize that out of and all the commandments, this one has a very limited time to act on. Some of us have already lost a parent, or maybe both. We can only honor them in name now. But if you have a parent still alive, parents are still alive, act now. Love them, honor them, comfort them, and know that God will remember those actions that bring honor to His word. Now, I know a lot of that probably hit pretty close tonight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, you know, if you're trying to do the right things, it's, you know, a lot of times parents try and try and try and try and things still go wrong. But if you're still instilling those right things and external forces are applying incorrect things in life and people decide to go down a different trail, it's not the fault of the parent who is trying to do things right and to make things right. But, you know, as parents, the only thing we can do a lot of times is pray about it. Because when it all comes down to it, it's just like I've said on this show many, many times. It's all about free will and being accepting of God and what God can offer you. What's your thoughts on that?
Oh, no, I think that's very true.
I mean, you know, a lot of times we just get stuck in these circles, and it's just so hard, right?
Yes.
But I'm here to tell you, folks, it all starts one place. It all starts like, I can't even tell you how many times I've said it, but the only place to start is by your close personal relationship with Christ. You know, realizing that you're a sinner and being willing to turn away from that sin and repenting of it. You know, believing that Jesus died for you and he was buried and rose again from the dead to pay the price for that sin. And just praying and inviting Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior. That's where it all begins. And, you know, if you've never done that before, there's not anything special you have to do. It's a simple prayer. Just be willing to turn from those things. You don't have to have a pastor do it for you. You don't have to be in a room full of people. It's about your decision and your, and exclusively your, personal choice to follow Christ. You know, simply say this prayer out loud. Father, I'm a sinner in need of your forgiveness. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins in Jesus' name. I repent and turn from sinning and doing wrong. Right now, I believe that Jesus died and rose again for my sin, and I accept his payment. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart right now and be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer and coming into my heart and saving me according to your word. I love you, Lord, and I ask you to seal me in the blood of Jesus and to help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, get yourself a Bible. Start reading the Bible. Get yourself involved in a good Bible-based church. Start learning. Start growing. Get involved in a small group. Start learning how to pray. There's plenty of things that need praying about in this world, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, definitely.
Start praying for each other. Start lifting each other up in prayer. I mean, a little bit of prayer goes a long way. Let's just say that. Wouldn't you think?
Oh, definitely.
Definitely. So you got any last thoughts over there for tonight?
I hope we don't go in a tornado tonight.
Yeah, that would be awesomely great.
Do not feel like going to Oz.
Don't want to go to Oz and don't want to sleep in a bathtub. So,
nope. Dogs, our dogs alone would be up all night. They'd be like, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing?
Hey, are we playing?
Come get me.
Is it bath time?
Get me, get me, get me.
So, everybody out there, if you're in the path of these storms, I mean, you know, stay safe. Last I heard, they were moving off northeast, you know, moving up into some areas in North Carolina, part the Piedmont, the Central, some of the mountains and foothills area. They'll be feeling the impact here in a little while. And they say that the cold's moving in after this. So,
oh, yes. Yeah, oh, yes. Yeah. Our neighbors to the north are supposed to have snow tonight.
Yeah, well, you know, don't be surprised when we get some around here.
I don't want it.
You know, there are some Euro models that I've seen that actually predict that within the next week we could get maybe up to 16 inches of snow around here.
No, 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 no. It's too much.
John Candy will be standing at the border of South Carolina. Sorry, folks. South Carolina's closed.
And we don't do crazy.
And we don't do crazy. Stay away till spring.
That's right.
So, but again, we appreciate everybody listening. I want to reach out to us. Remember, ChristianPolitiTalk.com. Listen to the commercial here at the end. Get our email address. Send us a message. Be glad and happy to hear from you. Send us any ideas that you have, some topics you'd like to hear on the show. Any prayer requests, anything like that, just let us know. We appreciate you listening and look forward to the show next week. Everybody have a great weekend.
want to reach out to us? Here's how. Contact us at christianpolititalk@gmail.com. Also, don't forget our website, christianpolititalk.com. We appreciate you joining us and hope you have a blessed week.
Time going crazy. I'm just trying to find words that might explain Jesus and what he's done for me. Every time it feels like I'm holding every drop of the entire ocean in a paper cup. Nice try, but it's never enough. If what I'm saying's resonating, then I think you know. Go on and throw those.
Produced by Sound Image Productions.